Radiolab is supported by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Radio Lab. I'm Jad Abumrad. My guest today is Robert Krulwich, the science correspondent for ABC News, Nova, and Nightline. And we're talking about time, the freezing of, the speeding up of, the slowing down of, the bizarre science of, and now the politics of time.
Speaking of which, my interview with, remember Jay Griffith, when we heard in the previous section? She began her interview with me with a strange declaration, which she read off a piece of paper.
This is the independent free state of Trollheim. We have no allegiance to the government. We do not recognize history, patriarchy, matriarchy, politics, communists, fascists, or lollipop men or ladies. We have a hierarchy based on dog worship. Our currency is to be based on the Quag barter system. We do not recognize the Gregorian calendar. By doing so, this day shall be known as one. Be afraid, all ye that hear. Respect this state.
What was that?
That was the manifesto of British anti-road protests in the mid-90s.
The British anti-road protests?
Yes.
These people don't like roads? Yes, environmentalists
who were protesting against the building of roads. And one of the things that they chose to do was to write this self-governing manifesto, pointing out that for them, they were not going to recognise Greenwich Mean Time.
At the time, 3 hours, 24 minutes, coordinated universal time.
Time is a highly political subject. It initially was the British sense of time, which was transported all over the world. Britons ruled their empire through ruling the oceans. They ruled the oceans because they discovered chronometers of sufficient accuracy to discover longitude. What the British did in their empires was to insist on GMT, Greenwich Mean Time, and, you know, that other countries were sort of Greenwich Mean Time retarded a bit or advanced a bit, but essentially
ours was the real time in London.
And
well, so that's true, of course, as the British don't own the seas anymore, but we all still use Greenwich Mean Time.
Absolutely. We're very used to thinking that empires are to do with land. What I'm arguing is that actually there have been empires of time.
There's one story you tell about the rulers. This is the ruler of Turkmenistan, the current ruler of Turkmenistan, a guy named President Niyazov. Now, the month of January in Turkmenistan is called Turkmenbashi, and the month of April is called Gurban Sultan. Why are they called that?
Well, he named one after himself and one after his mother.
You mean everybody there in January calls it, you know, President of Our Country Month, or whatever?
Well, I don't actually know whether, you know, that it's taken off in the street, as it were, and I rather suspect it probably hasn't. But what he wanted to do was, what in fact many rulers have wanted to do, is to ally themselves with the clock and the calendar. I mean, like Pol Pot decided that 1975 would be year zero.
Pol Pot says, all right, everything starts with me.
Yes,
is that what that means?
Exactly. Everything starts with me now when I say it does. This is year zero.
And to you, I guess, the joy of time, the deepest, most ecstatic version of it, is when you lose it completely.
I think that's absolutely right. And I think that's something that, you know, that in prayer, in meditation, in art, and in love, actually, is that people lose that you know, fretful, ticking off kind of sense of clock time. And what you fall into is something transcendent. You know, all that you have to have done is loved somebody to know that and to hold them for half an hour, and you can know that that half an hour has lasted an eternity.
Time standing still in a moment like that is like a really swollen now.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And that in a sense, you know, that's when the moment meets the eternal. That is all that matters, is just this moment that you hold in your hand.
Thanks, Robert. That was great.
Well, thank you.
Jay Griffith is the author of A Sideways Look at Time. You can find out more about her on our website, radiolab.org. We'll close our program today on time the way we started, with an excerpt of a performance of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. You know the one.
Uh-huh.
Except this is not the way Beethoven would have intended it to be performed. The piece he wrote to last 70 minutes has been stretched to 24 hours.
24 hours.
Yep, bringing it even closer to eternity. Recently, a group of San Franciscans spent an entire weekend in a gallery, in a trance, listening to all 24 hours. It began on a Friday evening.
It is 1:02 in the morning.
In the night?
And went all night.
So it's about 3:45 in the morning.
It's 3:55 in the morning.
4 o'clock in the morning!
Sound artist Aaron Zim was there, otherwise known as the Quiet American. The performance was at his gallery, in fact. To close our show today, we asked him to give us a taste of what it sounded like.
It starts with these fifths. And then da-dum, 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 da-dum. But, you know, here it's like...
Even though it's like a very simple thing to do, to like say, okay, it's not going to be 90 minutes, it's going to be a day, it still gives you that sense of floating time or hanging time, a time that takes a long time to pass, that you have in certain places in your life where a major thing happens. It evokes that somehow.
You know how people report that, you know, your life flashes before your eyes in a car crash or something like that? Time seems to slow down for people. It's like these really tense moments. What if you happen to be playing Beethoven's Ninth Symphony on, like, on your car stereo while you were going into some car crash or something? Would it slow down and sound like this?
The idea was to stretch something to 24 hours. By stretching Beethoven's Ninth, I don't only stretch a piece of music, I stretch music history.
Oh God, Beethoven for 24 hours.
I'm just wondering if Beethoven is slowly spinning in his grave.
Leif Inge, that's my name. Here in San Francisco this weekend, this is the second full 24-hour performance.
Upstairs, where the performance is going on, has a good vibe. Everything seems very gentle.
The floor is completely covered with beanbags or pillows.
The space has a really amazing acoustics.
The sound system here was really good.
What can I say? It's designed to be contemplative.
Why would I do this? I have no idea why I'm doing it. Yeah, will I do it again? I don't know.
I want to see how I feel being exposed to one unique piece.
My first response was a very calming response, and then when I walked in...
And then I came in, I wanted to stretch and maybe wanted
to
open up and expand.
So I had this thought that different animals, based on probably their size and their heart rate, might have different senses of time. Like you see a hummingbird zipping around in this manic way, and you think, we humans must seem very slow to that hummingbird. Everything we do must almost be in slow motion to something that can just deal with things that quickly. And to a whale or some huge animal with a heart rate that is like once every few minutes, we must seem really fast. This piece... it's kind of like that. Suddenly, I felt like I was moving at hummingbird speed.
It's growing. And then it's stretched out.
It's getting this funny way.
It's growing and growing and growing, and you're just wanting it to climax, and it's not going to, or it is, rather, it is climaxing, but it's just taking place over such a long time that to us, in our little small human time, it doesn't feel like it's climaxing.
It's true, it doesn't really climax.
The climax never happens. The denouement never comes by Beethoven in 24 hours.
It's like euphoria right
at this speed.
Sometimes people smile. I don't know. Maybe somebody else ran out screaming.
I'm really buzzed. I'm
pretty strong.
Oh, it's like an ecstatic apocalypse.
The other thing I felt when I came in
feeling.
And continue to feel like
associate this with
I was being lifted up. Just a constant lifting. There was no ending. Just a constant lifting.
That was produced by sound artist Aaron Zim, with help from Bronwyn Zim and Jeremiah Moore. You can find more of Aaron's work on our website, radiolab.org.
Chad, I was actually going to be the long A vowel in the dimension sequence, but I was unable to make it to San Francisco.
I guess we gotta get out of here.
Yeah, we should close the show. This week's show was produced by myself and Ellen Horn.
With help from Robert Krolwich, Max Bach, Brenna Farrell, Miguel Gomez-Estern, Sally Herships, Miyuki Yakiranta, Amy O'Leary, Vulcan Ansel, and Trent Wolby. Special thanks to Andy Lancet and Ben Adair. Very special thanks to all the track and field athletes featured in this show. Sean Crawford, Amy Acuff, Brendan Cowles, Derek Atkins, John Drummond, and Mary Wade. I'm Jason Pyrat. All right, I hope that worked for you.
This is Ira Flato, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.